This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll study Jesus and his works, Jesus' delay to help Lazarus, I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus raises Lazarus from death, and the plot to kill Jesus and Lazarus. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, as we continue our walk through St. John's Gospel on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
If you didn't know better, you might think it was satire, something from the Babylon Bee. China's intention to retranslate or rewrite both the Bible and the Quran and bring both of those books into line with communist doctrine. But it isn't satire, it's actually true. The China's communist government has decided that the Bible is enough of a philosophical, religious, political threat that it needs to be edited in order for it to stay in circulation. Of course, they weren't very friendly to the Bible when it was unedited to begin with, nor to Christians or people of any religious persuasion. Why is that? Why is communism so threatened by religion, by Christianity, and by the Bible in particular? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. Live this Friday afternoon, January the 10th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be talking about China's decision to rewrite the Bible and the Quran. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will join us a little bit later. Pastor Chris Roseborough is alongside for our weekly feature this week in Pop Christianity Today, a cross-section of 2020 prophecies that are being spoken allegedly from the Lord in evangelical churches. Then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We have four soundbites to play for you. After we've played them for you in the last half hour, you can vote live 1-877-623-MYIE or vote in advance via email talkback@issuesetc.org, Twitter @issuesetc, or at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Joining us to discuss China's decision to rewrite the Bible and the Quran, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, Emeritus Professor at the University of Bedfordshire in England. He's a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, and a member of the Bar of the Supreme Court of the United States. He's Professor at Large with 1517, The Legacy Project, Director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, and author and editor of more than 70 books, including Giant in Chains, China Today and Tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery, welcome back.
Thank you.
What is it about China's system of government that they deem it in their interest to, as they say, retranslate books like the Bible and the Quran?
Well, China is a totalitarianism, and it's characteristic of totalitarianism that they are not satisfied just to control all of your actions. They also want to control your thinking so that everything is uniform and conforms to the policies of the totalitarian. In my book, Giant in Chains, I talk about this in detail, and I refer to the film that probably many of our listeners have seen, The Last Emperor, a magnificent film. And I argue in the book that there never was a last emperor. That is to say, Imperial China continues as a communist country, but there really isn't any difference ideologically, because in both instances, we have absolute central control. We have nothing that vaguely resembles a democracy, so that whoever is in power calls the shots. And the current head of state, Xi Jinping, happens to be a hardliner. He is worried at the fact that if there are various religious beliefs existent in China, that could mean different ideologies. But there must be only one ideology. What ideology? Well, that of Xi Jinping. That is to say, a Chinese variant on classical Marxism.
Tell us a little bit about the history, beginning with the Cultural Revolution and what was done even early on with respect to communism's threatened posture over things like Christianity?
Well, the fact of the matter is that for centuries there have been strong Christian influences in China. Roman Catholic missionaries had a tremendous impact, and there are strong Protestant churches, or have been at least, in China. And the fact of the matter is that as Marxism has gained more and more control, there have been the creation of underground churches, churches that simply do not reveal their existence, because if they did, they would be eliminated. And fascinatingly, the Roman Catholic Church made concessions just a few years ago to allow the government in China to name bishops. Now, these bishops had to be approved by the Vatican, but the Vatican just went along with the names that had been provided, the people that had been named by the government. And this was a very, very unfortunate concession, because the fact of the matter is that the government wants to have everybody towing the mark. Everybody needs to be in lockstep with the government. And that, of course, explains the Tiananmen Square massacre, where I was present, and it was on the basis of this that my book, Giant in Chains, was published. Incidentally, the news concerning this new movement to alter scriptures to fit the Chinese government, that apparently never was of any interest to the American press. The major article on this is in Le Figaro, which is the most prestigious of the French daily newspapers, and that's where I read all this. Then there was a short article entirely based on the Figaro article that was published in a fairly minor English newspaper. But, you know, isn't that interesting? My book, China in Chains, I couldn't get published in the United States. Nobody was interested in China. And so it was published, first of all, in Germany, and then later on it was published in English in England. But there never was actually an American edition of it. And this suggests to me that Americans, including evangelicals and good Lutherans, are much too isolationistic. They do not realize that there's a world out there that needs the gospel and needs their testimony, and instead they just let things like this go by them.
What exactly is the Chinese government proposing to do with the Bible and the Quran?
Well, we're not clear. There was a Politburo session, and the person in charge of this, a fellow by the name of Wang, he said that in order to move into the modern world, the religions of China need to reexamine their basic texts and make sure that these texts are in conformity with socialist reality. And he didn't speak of any particular religions there, but obviously they are particularly concerned with Islam, Islamic influences, but they are equally concerned with Christianity, because the Christian minority is a significant element in the Chinese scene. And what they've said here is that each religion needs to examine its sacred literature and get it into conformity with current socialist policy. And this maybe can be done simply by retranslation, to get translations that are more accurate, ho, 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 or by suppressing material in these sacred texts. So they obviously intend to mess with Holy Scripture. All right? They are not willing to leave Holy Scripture as it is. Holy Scripture has got to be put into conformity with their ideology, which is exactly the totalitarian spirit.
What would they have to do to the Bible to make it conform to socialism and communism?
Well, they could do the sort of thing that Marcion did in the second century. They could simply eliminate those parts of the Bible that they feel are in tension with their ideology. You know, Marcion eliminated the entire Old Testament because he was convinced that only the Pauline writings and certain sections of the Gospel of Luke actually represented true Christianity. Okay? The idea here is that you first decide what the truth is, right? You decide that independently of anything scriptural. Then you go to Scripture and you say, oh, goodness sakes, there's all this stuff that doesn't conform to the truth, and therefore we're going to have to realign it and make sure that it does fit the truth. So this can be done either by throwing Scripture portions out the window, or it can be done by some kind of manipulative translation that will give a meaning that will fit your ideology.
We're talking with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery about China's decision to rewrite the Bible and the Quran. When we come back, I wonder what he makes of their term, retranslate. Stay tuned. Thanks to the best listeners in podcasting and radio for helping us make budget in 2019. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio Incorporated has been independent and in the black for almost 12 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, and thanks for your financial support of Issues Etc. live and on demand, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, and our 24/7 talk and music stations.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll study Jesus and his works, Jesus' delay to help Lazarus, I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus raises Lazarus from death, and the plot to kill Jesus and Lazarus. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, as we continue our walk through St. John's Gospel on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Now that you have packed away the Christmas ornaments and chrismons for the season, it's time for some contemplation. Those chrismons are from the 80s. They're made of styrofoam. The glitter has dropped off and they're being held together with toothpicks. Don't celebrate another Christmas harkening back to the age of glitter balls. Enter the 2020s with Ad Crucem's beautifully designed and lovingly made Christmons. We offer all the old designs and a whole lot of new ones. Visit adcrucem.com. That's ADCRUCEM.com.
O morning star, of morning star, shine found bright across the light above.
Listen to the best of the Church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, author and editor of more than 70 books, including Giant in Chains, China Today and Tomorrow, about China's decision to rewrite the Bible and the Quran. Dr. Montgomery, what do you make of their term, retranslate the Bible?
Well, it of course simply means make it conform to what we already believe to be the case. Right? And this is interesting because there are innumerable examples within the Christian West of this kind of thing being done. I mean, in 20th century history, you've got the Deutsche Christen movement in Germany under Hitler. The Deutsche Christens removed the Jewish material from the Bible. Or you can go back to Thomas Jefferson. Thomas Jefferson produced his Jefferson Bible, which consisted only of the moral teachings of Jesus, none of the miracles, because he didn't believe that Jesus was the miraculous Savior. Okay? So there are lots of instances of this kind of thing. The issue is simply this. Where do you start? Do you start with a theology, with an ideology? And then you go to the Bible to see if the Bible conforms to this, And if the Bible, sad to say, doesn't conform to this, then you simply alter the Bible or reduce the content of it until finally it conforms to your own ideas. There's been a long history of this kind of thing. In the days of Protestant liberalism, of course, they loved the moral teachings of the Bible, the Sermon on the Mount, but they didn't like the miracles. And G.K. Chesterton said, the religious liberal can't stand the virgin birth because it's only in two Gospels, Matthew and Luke. The liberal loves the Sermon on the Mount, which, oddly enough, is only in two Gospels, Matthew and Luke. So this turns out to be a classic example of the way in which liberals work with this stuff, right? And I read recently an article dealing with the attitude of certain evangelicals concerning universalism, whether it's possible to be saved apart from Jesus Christ. And the most prominent person who held that that is perfectly possible was Clark Pinnock, the late Clark Pinnock, who was a colleague of mine at the Trinity Evangelical Divinity School years ago. And Clark Pinnock was solidly Orthodox in those days, but every month he kept going more liberal. I mean, you had to get a bulletin to find out where Pinnock was at the present time. And ultimately, Pinnock took the view that it was not necessary to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ to be saved. And he maintained that position in a book of essays dealing with more than one way, different views of universalism and salvation. And he said, I gained so much from the Second Vatican Council because they said you didn't need to believe in Christ to be saved as long as you were following conscientiously the lights of your own religion. He said, however, I really want this model not only to be theologically coherent, but also exegetically well-founded. That is to say, he said, I'd really like to be able to support this scripturally if possible. But of course, for Pinnock, that wasn't necessary. He'd already made his decision. He liked the idea of universal salvation without reference to Jesus Christ. And therefore, wouldn't it be nice if this also were in the Bible? But that surely is not absolutely necessary, right? And if we, of course, we all enjoy criticizing the evangelicals, but in Lutheran circles, there are numerous examples of this kind of philosophy. There is, for example, Gerhard Forde, who starts out with the gospel, and he says, that's all that's really important. I quote from Forde, just as the pastor on Sunday morning may make errors of one sort or another in preaching and still preach the word, so also with scripture. In other words, it doesn't make any difference if the Bible contains errors and contradictions. So what? As long as the gospel is presented. What you have here is a situation where Forde has first of all decided on his theology, and the theology consists of the gospel and virtually nothing else. And therefore, who cares if there is stuff in the Bible that isn't correct? Doesn't make any difference as long as the gospel is preached. Or there is, of course, my nemesis that I debated in Chicago a couple of years ago. Jeffrey Kloa, who thank heaven is no longer teaching at the Concordia Seminary St. Louis, which has nothing whatever to do with any criticism he ever got from them. But anyway, Kloa gave a lecture at Concordia St. Louis in which he says this: if you want to rip Romans 15 and 16 out of my Bible, I could live with this. If you want to remove Hebrews, James, Revelation, I can live with that too. If you force me to look only at P46 or bizarre majuscule manuscripts, I can live with that too, etc. And he goes on to say, on the other hand, force me to read the Gospel of Thomas. I cannot live with that, or the Quran, or the Book of Mormon, not because they are not inerrant or perfect or even human, but because there is no gospel. there is no new life in Christ. What Chloe is saying there is that the only important thing is the gospel, and therefore it doesn't make any difference if books are ripped right out of the Bible, or if manuscripts are poor and we can't support the reliability of the text. Doesn't make any difference as long as we keep the gospel. What Chloe has done there is to start out with an independent philosophy and ideology of the gospel. And then he goes to Scripture and judges Scripture on that basis. The proper way to handle this is not the totalitarian method of the Chinese, or the liberal method that Chesterton criticizes, or these confounded Lutherans. The way to handle this is you start out with the Bible as God's Word, and then you keep your big mouth shut and listen to what it has to say. And if it says something you don't like, tough on you, not tough on the Bible. Okay, those are some illustrations that ought to disturb plenty of our listeners, yes?
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest. We're talking about China's decision to rewrite the Bible and the Quran. When we come back, he'll relate his own experience in June of 1989 while in China.
You can meet and hear Mark and Molly Hemingway, Robert George, Albert Moeller, Brian Wolfmiller, Hans Feeney, and Will Wheaton at the 2020 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 12th and Saturday, June 13th in Chicago. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The 2020 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 12th and 13th at Concordia University, Chicago.
Historic St. Paul Lutheran Church in the heart of Austin, Texas is glad to support the work of Issues Etc. I'm Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, pastor of St. Paul, and I'm glad we're part of this effort. Issues Etc. for decades has been the premier voice of Lutheran doctrine and biblical teaching in all of the world, and we're glad to be a little part of making sure that the work continues. If you're ever in Austin, stop by and visit us. All the information is on the website, stpaulaustin.org. That's stpaulaustin.org.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Augustana Lutheran, Moscow, Idaho. Divine Savior Lutheran, Divine, Texas. Grace Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Eagle, Nebraska. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Our Savior Lutheran, Winchester, Virginia. Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee. St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Munster, Indiana. And Trinity Lutheran, Scarsdale, New York. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.
For, you know, 95%+ of women, when we get pregnant, it didn't randomly happen. We chose to do the only thing in the whole entire world that can make a baby come into existence.
They will accept the miracles of Jesus, and they'll accept the miracle of the Red Sea crossing and of the flood and Jonah and the whale and so forth, and reject the miracle of baptism.
There's good religion and there's bad religion, and it's the New York Times and its editors who get to tell you which is which.
The Father is well pleased with the Son because the Son is putting himself in the position of mankind to save us. The Son is actually putting himself in the position of being all sinners.
An hour from now, we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We'll play those four soundbites for you in their entirety, and your vote will decide which will be soundbite of the week. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest. We're talking about China's decision to rewrite the Bible and the Quran. Dr. Montgomery, you mentioned this briefly before, but if you would relate your own experience in China in June of 1989.
Well, I took a small group to China, and it so happened that we were in Beijing at the time of the Tiananmen Square explosion. And we were on the last plane to get out of Beijing before the massacre occurred. That was just the day before the troops went into the square and slaughtered these students. And they, you know, sad to say, they were not trying to get a regime change at all. All they were trying to do was to get more freedom of expression. But they didn't understand the totalitarian mentality. The totalitarian mentality, as we've tried to point out in this program, will not put up with variations in thinking. They want to control what you think, not just what you want to do. Because, and they're quite right, that what one thinks about often influences what one does. So they don't want a free society. If you want a free society, you need to have a society where people can believe as they feel they should. And except for harming others, they ought to be able to act in accordance with those beliefs within the framework of the law. But this is not a framework that the Chinese people have ever really understood. Even under the days of Chiang Kai-shek, who was a Christian and influenced deeply by the West, even in those days, there were very few Chinese who thought in terms of Western democracy.
What would you say to someone, and this is quite popular, at least lately in the American context, who believes that socialism simply hasn't been tried the right way yet? It will be successful if tried by people of pure heart or something like that. What would you say to them with respect to socialism and the future of religious liberty?
Have fine people of pure heart, including yourself. And therefore, if you don't have people that are have some sort of built-in sanctification, socialism is never going to work. That is to say, the socialist wants the rich to be brought down to the level of that individual. The socialist does not want to have his or her own economic level reduced one bit. At the moment, here in France, we're having some serious strikes, and these strikes are over changing the retirement system. The retirement system in France is not a single retirement system for everybody. It depends upon your occupation in various respects, and some people can retire at 55 years of age and get 85% of their working salary. Other people can't, and Macron is trying to get a uniform system. And it's fascinating that the lawyers, and I'm a lawyer here, an avocat, the lawyers are screaming against this. Why? Because it might reduce their advantages in retirement, even though they have retirement advantages that are extraordinary. The fact of the matter is that original sin happens to touch every last one of us. And because it does, in a socialist system, you are always going to have the worst kind of inequities that are produced by a small party group and forced on everybody else. You know, this is Churchill. Democracy is the worst form of government until you compare it with all the others.
So is communism in any way compatible with Orthodox Christianity?
Well, I don't think that any political system or economic system as such can be justified scripturally. I mean, Scripture makes it clear that our citizenship is not here. We are citizens of another kingdom. And what we need to do is to try to design governmental systems that will take into account human depravity. And that is the great thing about the American Revolution. And it was one of the important elements in the French Revolution, that you've got to keep a privileged class from controlling things for everybody else. There's a fascinating example of this. Plato wrote The Republic, in which he said the ideal government is to have a philosopher king, a king who is a philosopher. Then the king of Syracuse invited him, Plato, to come to Syracuse and educate his son. The son was an imbecile, a real goofball, and Plato did everything in his power to produce the philosopher king, but the kid was impossible. And Plato returned to Athens and wrote a work entitled The Laws, in which he said, everybody is going to have to be under the law. You can't have anybody standing above the law, as a philosopher king would have done. And it seems to me that's the approach to take. You can certainly have limited socialist governments. We have had limited socialist governments here in France, and some of them have been just excellent. But they've been founded in a democratic frame of reference where, when they start exceeding their legal authority, they can be removed. You can do something about it. You're not stuck as you are in any dictatorship. Hitler, how could he possibly have remained the head of the German government for those years when it was one catastrophe and one horror after the other? Answer, nobody could remove him. There was no way to do this. He had taken over power unilaterally and totally. And wherever this happens in any society, you know, heaven help us all, literally.
What can be done to help Christians and Christianity in China?
Well, in my opinion, the best thing has been the distribution of Holy Scripture, unedited and not retranslated. This is extremely important. And these underground churches are doing far more for China than China will ever admit. And there have been areas in China where the Christians have been put into positions of influence because they're the only honest people around, and they're the only ones that have actually been able to help the society. So it seems to me the example of Christians and Scripture is the way to go. Now, that's not easy, but I don't know what else can be done. You know, do you remember the days of MacArthur? General MacArthur wanted to go into North Korea and take the war right to Beijing. And Truman discharged him, got rid of him as Supreme Commander. Just suppose MacArthur had prevailed, and it had been possible to prevent the horrific communist regime from ever coming into power in China. Just think how many lives would have been saved and how many lives would have been made worthwhile that were destroyed through this awful ideology. You may like Truman, but to tell you the truth, I think that was one of the most horrendous mistakes in American politics.
What role have indigenous or native Chinese religions played in this kind of religiously oppressive atmosphere?
Well, only the fact that these indigenous religions are not based on any kind of objective truth or search for truth. They're based on personal experience, and therefore, as long as they can conduct their strange mystical rituals and animistic activities, they don't care what's going on governmentally. And, of course, that's why they're not targeted at all by the regime. They're left alone because they're not a threat. But the organized religions, the major religions of the world, are potentially a threat because they are presenting a standard that is allegedly transcendental. It's a standard above that of the state. And that's exactly what a totalitarianism will never allow. A totalitarianism must be the ultimate authority in every single area. And the minute that it's threatened in any area, then it will clamp down on whoever is the danger to them.
Dr. Montgomery, you're the director for the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. Tell us about it.
Well, this is a program of 2 weeks duration each summer in Strasbourg, France, in the French Rhineland. And it's a program that presents the major objections to Christian faith in our time and the best answers. And it is orientated to laymen and to pastors who have never had what is known technically as apologetics. They've never learned how to defend the faith, and that includes about 98% of all Lutheran clergy, I might say, since the Lutheran approach has been just preach, and people will come around. Yeah, but they won't necessarily come around to you. They'll come around to some crackpot cult just down the block. The International Academy of Apologetics is an opportunity to spend 2 weeks getting the answers so that you can do really effective evangelism. You can't do evangelism if you can't answer the questions of the unbeliever, and this gives you those answers. And it's also a program that takes place in a wonderful environment, the French Rhineland, with grand food and excellent wines and the opportunity for cultural contacts. We have a cultural program in connection with this, and that's all included in the program. And having said all of this on the positive side, technically we have only 2 places left for this coming July. Now, we'll probably allow a couple of more people beyond that, but if there are listeners who have been undecided as to what to do about this, this is not the time to be undecided. This is the time to enroll just as fast as possible.
Learn more about the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is Emeritus Professor at the University of Bedfordshire in England. He's a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, and a member of the Bar of the Supreme Court of the United States. He's Professor at Large with 1517, The Legacy Project, Director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, and author and editor of more than 70 books, including Giant in Chains, China Today and Tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery, thank you.
Always a pleasure.
Pastor Chris Roseborough joins us on the other side of the break for our weekly feature, This Week in Pop Christianity Today, a cross-section of some 2020 prophecies coming out of pop Christianity. You can compare what each gospel writer wrote about Jesus and his ministry in the Issues Etc. book of the month for January. It's titled Jesus, A Study of the Words of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Jesus, A Study on the Words of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John costs $14.99. The Issues Etc. book of the month for January, Jesus, A Study on the Words of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Join the Conterai of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, for evening prayer from 7 to 8, Friday night, January the 10th, at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. The Conterai of Concordia Theological Seminary, Friday night at 7 at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Lutheran Talk.
We have an ecumenical responsibility to hold forth the Scriptures and to bear witness to grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone.
Lutheran Music. Listen anytime, anywhere in 2020 with the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Download for iPhone, Android, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.